Good evening to each one of you. It's been a good day. It's been a blessing being here with all of you. And we had a good meeting today. And so tonight I'm going to talk about meetings, administration, and brothers' meetings and weekly meetings. And I think that's the engine room of the church, right? It's where a lot of it happens. So I would be curious to know how many of you meet weekly. Yeah, a good number.
Every
Sunday. that too. that's good. I think for us here, it's Tuesday afternoons at 4:30. You usually see us pulling in here and we just go till we're done. But so every Tuesday afternoon, we come here and gather together and we pray and talk about things, talk about issues, talk about, lots of different things. So this is kind of a new subject for me, how to have a good meeting. And so I've never preached about this before, but I trust the Lord will give some direction here. I had this book some years ago, Meetings That Work. How many of you have a copy of this? Pretty small number. I would recommend it. It's a very good Alexander Strauch. It's a very good book. A lot in there that can really bless your meetings. So many of us elders and churches, we don't understand the significance of a weekly meeting and what all happens with that. The impact that can have on us and our people, our church, in the congregations that we serve. And I didn't at the beginning. I thought meetings were just something to endure. And at the very beginning, they were just kind of painful. It wasn't a good experience. And so I'm blessed tonight to have, a fellow elders and deacons here among us, Brother Solly, Brother Jonas, Brother Arlen, and Brother Martin. And it's been a great joy to serve with them. And in the past, it was Brother Marlon and Brother Jerry were with us, and since Abundant Life started, why we're down to five of us. But it is a great blessing to just sit together and learn from each other and learn how to function. That is, I think, a big part of that. So I was thinking about that. I thought I would ask maybe Brother Jonas to come up and pray for me before we go further here. And trust that the Lord will bless our time here together. We'd like to have an open discussion following my 30 minutes here. So,
okay. That's great. Heavenly Father, this evening hour, after a good meal together with brothers, we bow before you. We thank you for this day, for all the rich manna that you give us from heaven today, Father.
Mm-hmm.
I pray for Brother Steve here that you'd bless him this next 30 minutes, give him unction, give him clarity, help him, Lord, to speak those things that he laid upon his heart.
Yes.
That we could listen, we could have our cups turned up, and we could learn what you would have to teach us in the next portion, the next few moments of our life. Thank you for Steve, and ask you to bless him, anoint him with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. I was thinking of, can we find meetings in the Scripture? And so my mind went to Acts 15. So if you want to turn there and look at a few scriptures there. Acts 15 is quite a meeting there. I don't know how many people were there, but I would guess it was a meeting of this size or much larger, I would guess. So in Acts 15, verse 2, it says, "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. So there was a problem there that they were looking at that says there was no small dissension or disputation. So I don't know what that looked like. They must have had a long time together of just trying to work this out. And if you go to verse 6, and it says the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And that's what we do each week. We get together on Tuesday nights and we consider many things. And I'd like to say first at the beginning here that prayer is very vital in our weekly meetings. And as I was studying for this, I was reminded that we should spend more time in prayer. We always make that a practice, but it is vital. It's critical. The prayer time together. But going on here in verse 13, and it says, and after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. And so we know there's a long dialogue here of, you know, the question about the Jew and Gentile. You know, what they were required to practice, how much of the, you know, what the Jews were doing was for them. And I'm not going to go into that tonight, but I'm talking about meetings. But I would like to point us to verse 22. And that's always a good day for a ministry team at the end of a brother's meeting when you have this testimony. Then pleased it the apostles and elders and the whole church to send the men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. And so there was a peace there in the church after they came to a conclusion. And there's conclusions that are made in this place every year in June. And I believe it brings peace to our home congregations as you all go home and say and tell of what God is doing and things that are on your heart. It brings peace to the home congregation. They know that my elders and my ministry team, they're plugged in and they're pulling with a larger group, and they are coming together to feed us, to lead us and guide us. And so as we go on here, you know, that's a beautiful thing to have unity in a meeting. But there's a great battle in having unity in every meeting. Consider with me that elders' meetings affect the spiritual health of the church, what they talk about, or what they do or don't do, how they act toward one another, and what they plan or fail to plan at the weekly pastoral meeting. So I ask myself this question, and I think it's key to having meetings that work, meetings that are productive and are God-honoring. What kind of spirit and attitude do I bring to the meeting? Thinking of that, you know, I think of that. It's just, you know, when I come into and I sit down, you know, whatever I'm bringing from work or from home or from wherever I was, that is going to affect this meeting, the health of the meeting. Communication is not something that we can put a crank on and crank it. You know, when you put six men together in a circle and to communicate about a subject, especially hard subjects, you know, subjects that are difficult, I believe it's a spiritual work to get the communication flowing. So at first, many of you have probably noticed that, you know, maybe the first 20 minutes or whatever, you know, it just kind of like in a slow walk, you know, and then you just kind of keep going, and you know, there's times when it just starts working, it starts clicking, and you can get things accomplished, and we're all on board and we're focused, and And so that's just such a blessing when that happens. And it just, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen quite like that. And so that's why we're looking at this subject tonight and praying over it. Do I understand the verses about the difference between servant and Gentile leadership? I think that is key here in Luke 22, talking about exercising lordship. You know, I believe our people, I think Michael Martin said at the Minden meetings that our people deserve to be led well. And I've been thinking about that. And that hasn't always been the case here at Allen County. But tonight we're thankful that God is helping us and he's guiding us and leading us. Luke 22, verse 25 says, "And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? It is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as one that serveth." And so Jesus himself, you know, he came and served. And he undergirded and he ministered. And so I think that's so, we heard it well said this morning from our brother Andrew. The first message on being small in God's eyes. I thought of that as he was preaching. That takes in a lot of what I'm going to say here tonight. But I also thought of, I've been in meetings that were hard meetings. And I've heard of, there's brothers at times will just speak up and they have a word of wisdom. They have a word that comes to them, and it just brings peace to everyone. You know, it was kind of going like this and like that and like this and like that. And then that word of wisdom, like James had in Acts 15, he just came and it just brought peace to the meeting. So I think praying that God would bless us with words of wisdom for our meetings. It comes from his spirit. It comes from him, we know. The meetings build character, and they also test our Christ-likeness. There are no graduates from Christ's school of shepherding. You know, I haven't graduated from the school of shepherding. Just being a good shepherd. In John chapter 10, there's a couple verses there that I wanted to look at. You know, I know I have much to learn in that area of being a under shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." I was just thinking about that. You know, do I give my life for my sheep? You know, I give up a lot of things probably. But when you think of it, you know, giving your life is giving up all else to lead well. And that can be a challenge at times. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is the hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And so that's just our heart here tonight. My heart is that just to encourage us to just remember that call of the shepherd, that to shepherd our people in this day in which we live. You know, number one, having love and compassion for them. You know, there's times when I have felt, you know, when things come at you, you know, repeatedly, like, You know, you didn't do that right, and you didn't do this, and you missed that, and, you know, you can tend to get kind of hardened. You know, you can kind of like, oh, that's just, you know, that's just them or, you know, whoever it might be. And instead of caring, you know, I have in my years felt myself get hard, like, you know, didn't care no more. And that's a bad place to be. I think if you have that happen, if that's happening in your heart tonight, talk to your team. Say, you know, I'm getting hard. I can sense it that I don't care for my sheep like I should. Don't be too proud to ask for help. I think that can be a big one, because I can handle it. I can do it, you know. But many times we need help. You know, and having the ability to confront issues and problems, you know, that's something that maybe I haven't done as good as some others have. You know, confronting issues, and it can be difficult at times. I know we need to bathe it in prayer, and yet there comes a day when you need to just do it. You know, you just need to just make that phone call or have that meeting. Like we're talking about meetings tonight, hard meetings are extremely hard to schedule, hard meetings. and so that's just real. Sensitivity in dealing with complaints and questions. You know, there was a time in my life where I people would ask questions, and I didn't think they were very good questions, and it would kind of grind me a little bit. You know, why ask that question? I mean, but I feel like the Lord is helping me with that, you know, there is no question that can't be asked, and just to lovingly continue to reiterate those truths in the scripture. And I talked about the prayer life. Our prayer life is very essential. You know, we can put a big smile on and show the fruits of the Spirit in a church service or a fellowship dinner, or when working with the poor or a street ministry. But when the rubber hits the road in an elder meeting, when it's people that I meet every week, you know, that's the truth. That's the true test right there. Meetings provide a good place to practice Christianity that we preach. The Christian fruits, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The next time you feel you're wasting your time in a meeting, think about the character that you're developing. Most of the time we miss that. I missed that for many years. I didn't realize that weekly meetings were intended to help me develop character. God will often use an elders meeting to expose the weakness of my character and to reshape it more into a Christ-like character, if I allow it. But I have to be willing. I have to be a yielded vessel and say, yes, Lord. And I know my fellow team here, they could say a lot. I guess there'll be an open time, so... But yeah, they've been a blessing to me, and they've been forbearing and long suffering, and yeah, we haven't always agreed, but God is good and helps us. You know, you think of under the pressure of a weekly meeting, we can have bad tempers, lack of love, poor people skills, a controlling spirit. You know, so we could ask ourselves, am I teachable? Ecclesiastes 4:13 says, better is a wise youth than an old and foolish king. And I thought of this and I found that in this book here, about he pointed out that you know, Jesus never trained any man alone. He brought the 12 disciples. He preached a sermon on the Mount. Yeah, he individually ministered to people like health related or sickness and healed them. But he did things as a team. It wasn't on an individual basis. I think that was the pattern, and that's what he was teaching when he appointed the 12 disciples to follow him. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So meetings develop leadership skills and godly wisdom. Meetings provide on-the-job training for developing pastoral leadership skills and godly wisdom. That's assuming that each elder is biblically qualified and has unique wisdom and skills to contribute to the group one toward another. You know, there's different giftings as you sit around a circle. I think all of us can identify with that. We know that iron sharpens iron. And as I rub shoulders with my fellow ministry team, I can sense that at times, that they sharpen me. You know, this is good. And so for all of us, you know, just a reminder to embrace that. Right. That's the key. It is impossible to participate in an intense, highly interactive meeting that involves difficult church problems without growing in biblical wisdom and improving one's skills of being a shepherd and the knowledge of Jesus Christ's doctrine, the doctrine that he gave us. He said that we are to adorn the doctrine of God. And I think that happens in our weekly meetings. And then as we go to the congregation to preach messages, that doctrine is adorned and brought up to its rightful place. So we need to understand that each meeting, no matter how frustrating or how unproductive it may seem, it's a learning opportunity. Just to take each meeting and recognize, maybe it didn't go well, but it's a learning opportunity. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's Proverbs 13, verse 20. I was looking at a few different scriptures here and just kind of put together some what I would call, you could say, attributes of a godly leader, a godly team member. So it come out of 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, and 1 Peter 5. It's help for achieving, just effective messages. And it's, you know, to be a good decision maker, making decisions that are good. So number one, being gentle, forbearing, patient, gracious, yielding whenever yielding is possible. So that means that it's not always possible to yield, especially with, you could say issues that are directional. Temperate, self-controlled, balanced in judgment, free from excessive or rash behavior. Peaceable, not quarrelsome, willing to let go and let God work. Not self-willed, not arrogant, and inconsiderate of others' opinions, feelings, and desires. Not quick-tempered, basically not a hothead. Or an angry man. Being just, a righteous man, known for being a fair, law-abiding man of principle. Just being, I was thinking about that, just having that principle that our people know that we are men of principle, that we are just in all our dealings. Not domineering or mocking. Willing to listen or yield to others. I was thinking about the aspect of mocking, and I was thinking about that as a young boy. It seemed like I faced some mocking and some, being laughed at, if you will. And I feel like it has affected me over the years, So I tended to be really sensitive to people's, like, their demeanor when I interact with them. Because I can remember when I was a young boy, my dad had a bad heart. He had rheumatic fever as a young boy at 12 years old, and so his heart was And Lars, he ended up dying around 32 years old from a heart attack. But, you know, at times we was riding in a buggy, and the farmers or the thrashers, they would laugh at him because he couldn't get out there and help him. And I remember that as a little boy. And so these are things that are just kind of sensitive in my mind. And I realize that God has helped me to overcome those. It's okay if someone laughs at us, right? I mean, it's okay. It's God allows us to go through things to help us to be more like Him. So as a young boy, that was something that really affected me, and I feel like it has followed me up into my present life. But yet, I feel like I'm in victory over it. You know, I'm past that. So, sound in doctrine, able to teach and to refute false teaching. You're just having those joyful, productive meetings. What about flat spots? I think we heard about that in a regional meeting about what about flat spots? Or I think Brother Henry uses this phrase, EGR, extra grace required. You know, there's one of my classmates here in the community. He's a bishop. And I was over at my in-laws the other night, and they was giving him a name. I remember his name was John. They said his name is Slapper John. And I said, what do you mean Slapper John? I never heard that before. And they said, oh, well, some years ago, he was having a confrontation with one of his church members, and he just wound up and slapped him. And since then, he has this name in the community called Slapper John. And he's a bishop. But so those are things that, God forbid, that we would be known for, you know, making rash moves like that. But it happens, you know. And so I was thinking about, you know, there's misunderstandings in meetings as well that can happen, you know. Like we heard this morning, Moses, he was on the backside of the mountain for a while. And there was a reason for that, until he could grow in meekness and grace and be able to endure interaction without losing it. So a week ago, I was up to Benton Harbor, Michigan, to measure a job, and I pulled in this street, and it's a cobblestone street, and I got into where the driveway, where the home was. I was measuring cabinets along Lake Michigan there, and as I was leaving, I realized that I didn't see much on the street. There was hardly any traffic. I didn't see anybody, actually. And I was stopped, and I didn't see any one-way street signs of any kind, so I just went back the way I came in. And so I get going down through the street to get to the main road, and all of a sudden this man gets in his car, and he backs out right in front of me. And I just, like, slam on the brakes, and he was not looking at me. He was just looking straight like this way. And right at first, I was like, what is wrong with that guy? He didn't even look if I was coming. And then I got out about a quarter mile further, and I realized this is a one-way street. He didn't have to look that way. So right at first, I thought, what's wrong with this guy? But he's like, what's wrong with you? You know? And so that's how it can be in a weekly meeting, you know? Sometimes we can't see our flat spots or our ignorance of information or whatever it might be. And so we misunderstand each other, you know, at times. That is very real. I know that we've had various times where one brother would say something, and five, 10 minutes later, why somebody said something, that's what you said. No, I didn't say that, you know. So it seems like those things are, it's very essential to have clear communication and reiterate, you know. I think that's something I learned from Brother Mark, is to repeat back to someone what they just told you so that you can, so there's no misunderstandings. But yeah, there's a learning curve in having good meetings and to relating with people. Just thinking of that Christ-like attitude that I bring to the meeting. It's the attitude of washing my brother's feet. It's not the one of, you know, some people use the term chop his head off, and it's a kind of a bad term, but You know, it's the idea of undergirding, washing his feet. If thy brother is grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Romans 14:15. And I was thinking about, you know, it's kind of like a marriage or a family. You know, you come home every day and, yeah, we love our wives and our families, but there's times when that familiarity, it just breeds contempt, you know. And so that's how it is in a weekly meeting with elders and deacons and our teams. We can get so used to each other and we don't appreciate each other like we should. But God help us tonight to do that, just to remember that that these things are spiritual. So yeah, my attitude is key in a meeting. There are right and wrong ways to talk to one another and to disagree. And, you know, we need to reason with one another. You know, I think it's okay to question a decision or to question a thought. Like if someone thinks, yeah, we should do it this way, it's okay to question that. That's healthy. That's what you call, you know, just edification of the team. But sinful, critical, or mocking attitudes produce unpleasant meetings. And godly attitudes produce joyous meetings. In Philippians 1:27, it says, only let our conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else I be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That sounds like a productive meeting. And I sense that's what we're having here tonight and today. That we are having, we're having a productive meeting here. So the power of agreeing together. Jesus talked about that one day. He said in Matthew 18:19, he said, again, I say unto you that if there be two of you, and they shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So there is power in agreeing together. But there's also strength in working together to bring it to the right decision. You know, not just be a flop over where whatever gets said, okay, good. But to bring truth, to bring scripture, and to, you know, go through this and make it biblical, make it scriptural. God's will. So point number two is, as I think of coming to a few more points here in closing before we open it up, I was thinking of, you know, as you come to the weekly meeting, you know, think about this, the power in agreeing together. Number two, peace in your home. If you have peace in your home as you come to a meeting, there's more power there. But if there's something going on in your home that's not good, if you're having a disagreement with someone in your home, whether it's your wife or children, whatever it is, that I believe that will hinder your meeting. It affects how we function. Good, productive meetings take time, so don't be in a hurry. You know, that's another point that I recognize. We live in a fast-paced world, and it's always about, I got to get to the meeting, and I got to get home, and so we got to get done. Let's get done. And there's a time where we do need to go home, but I think, you know, being in a hurry can really quench a healthy, productive meeting. Right. Maintaining a teachable spirit. Remember, we are lifelong learners. Number five, the Holy Spirit must feel welcome in our meetings. How long will the Holy Spirit stay in a meeting where there's strife, hatred, jealousy, or anger? It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So don't grieve. I believe that grieves the Holy Spirit when I am not at peace in my weekly meeting. If we can't talk and understand each other. Now, I understand that some of these things can get pretty real with vision differences that need to be worked out. And so I'm not suggesting here that it's proper to just lay down and allow things to go the wrong way. That's not what I'm after here. But it's in striving for righteousness and a clear vision. It's how we do it. What's the attitude of my heart? Can my fellow elders sense that I love them and that I really want to work it out? And so true forgiveness is the only way to have spiritual life. Maintaining a tender heart that forgives from the heart freely and fully. Unforgiveness in our weekly meetings will grieve the Holy Spirit. And there again, I would like to say that, you know, I haven't always attained in that. That's something that God is helping me in. And I believe that He has given me victory over those things. And so I rejoice in that. So I'd like to open it up here. Take some questions, and then we'll let someone answer them. So does anyone have a question or something they would like to share about how they've been blessed with their weekly meetings and how to have, you know, we could talk about being on time. We could talk about not playing with your phone while you're in a meeting. We could talk about making sure it's on silent or vibrate, being respectful in those ways. There's a lot of things that we could talk about there, but I'm convinced of better things than that, you know, that you know those things. But.